I hold in my hand this morning two bullets. These bullets were given, sent by mail, somebody, by a lady who's a member of this church, who is, these bullets are symbolic of the fact that she is planning suicide. These are bullets that fit her gun, and I read the letter that she wrote to someone else. Now, this is not a bad woman. This is not a sinful woman who's come to the end of life's sinful journey and found that the dregs in the bottom of the cup were always the bitterest. But this is a woman who sent, the woman who sent these bullets is a fine lady. She's rearing children by herself. The burdens are many. The load is heavy. Now, I'm not saying that there are dozens of you or hundreds of you contemplating suicide. I am saying that there are dozens or hundreds of you who have burdens equal to hers. And you do not know how to face tomorrow. May I say to this lady, who I think I saw in the service a minute ago, may I say to you, ma'am, there's a way better than suicide. You say, Brother Hyle, what is that way? The answer is living life one day at a time. Just one day at a time. Straight for today is mine all the way and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. I was at my mother's house the other day. Mother's 93, and as of course you know, a person 93 can't look forward to as many years in the future as a person 13. And I said, Mother, are you happy? And she said, Yes, son, I am. And I said, Do you worry? Are you afraid? And she said, No, son, I'm not. And then she said to me, Son, I just live one day at a time. Did you know that every day is a microcosm of life? Every morning when you wake up, it's a microcosm of birth. You know that the noontime of the day is a symbol of the mid-years of life. And the evening sunset is a symbol of the last years of life. And going to bed at night is a symbol of death itself. And the rising tomorrow morning is a symbol of the resurrection. If I know anything about life, I know the secret to life is living it one day at a time. I was talking the other day to some parents of a child that has leukemia. And I said, How do you take it? How do you stand it? And they said, Pastor, we just take it one day at a time. You know that's the way I live my life, one day at a time. The Bible says we're to pray, give us this what? Day, our what? Daily bread. You recall, the Lord never says, give us this day our tomorrow's bread. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, give us this day next week's bread. We're supposed to pray, are you listening? We're supposed to pray, give us this day our daily bread. You recall the Israelites as they journeyed from the land of Egypt to the land of promise. They received manna every morning from heaven. They were not allowed to gather enough manna for 2 days. They gathered enough manna for today. If they gathered manna for today and tomorrow, the manna would spoil. The only day of the week when they could gather enough manna for 2 days was the day before the Sabbath, because they're not allowed to do such work on the Sabbath day. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you have burdens. And I know you have heartaches. I know you have problems. I know people in this room besides Grace McMullen who have terminal cancer. I know people in this room who have children who have incurable diseases. I know men in this room that haven't worked a day and you sought jobs. You haven't worked a day for months. I know people in this room that don't know how next month's rent is going to get paid. May I say the great secret to life is living for today, living one day at a time. I do it. When I get up in the morning, and I want to say this, that lady who owned these two bullets, don't use them, lady. Don't use them. Don't use them. There's something better than that. In the morning, when I get up, I always go to the window. And I open the drape. Now, where I am, I open the drape, look out, and say, Jesus, I love you. That's the first thing I say every morning. Jesus, I love you. And I'd love to see you today. Then I quote Psalm 17:15, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. That's where I start the day, every day. Then I ask God, I kneel and I yield to the Holy Spirit every morning. First thing, open the drape, look out and say, Jesus, I love you. And then I say, I would love to see you today. And then I kneel and say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you today. I met God in the morning when the day was at its best. And His presence came like glory with His sunrise on my breast. All day long His presence lingered. All day long He stayed with me. We sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were torn and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to me a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mine, when I too had left the blessing of His presence far behind. So I think I've learned the secret, learned from many a troubled way. If you meet God in the morning, you can have Him all the day. I want every eye focused on me. I want no laughing. I want no joking. I want you serious-minded. As I tell you, the great secret of life is living the day for today. Living one day at a time. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, but I don't have to have strength for tomorrow. I need strength for today. Then, after that, I always ask the Holy Spirit to help me to cross the path that day of somebody who needs me. And of somebody whose path our Lord would cross if He lived on this earth. Now, this is my ritual. Open the window, the drape, look out and say, I love you, Jesus. Tell Him I want to see Him today. Bow and yield to the Holy Spirit. Then ask Him to let me cross the path of those whom our Lord would cross, of the paths of those whom our Lord would cross, if He were here. And then I ask for victory over certain weak points in my life. Now, I'm sure that you are not aware of the fact that I have weak points. But I have weak points. I'm not going to tell you what they are. I have no idea. No intention to tell you what they are. But there are certain things in my life. Some folks have other weak points. Some people have weak points of heckling during a sermon. But I have certain things in my life. I'll give you one of them. No, I won't. No, I won't give it to you. Okay. I'll give it to you. On my deathbed, I'll give it to you. But I always ask God to give me victory over those weak points for that day. I worry about people that walk down the aisle and say, Brother, I'm giving up cigarettes. I'll never smoke another as long as I live. Now, that's a wonderful decision to make. But that's not the way you quit smoking cigarettes. You quit smoking cigarettes by coming down the aisle and saying, I am going to ask God to give me victory over cigarettes today. And I'm going to ask God to give me victory tomorrow on tomorrow over cigarettes. Any temptation, I don't care what it is, any burden you bear, any problem you have, the answer is living one day at a time. After I've opened the drape and said, Jesus, I love you, and after I've said, I'd love to see you today, and after I've yielded myself to the Holy Spirit, and after I have asked Him to let me cross the path of the people whose paths our Lord would cross that day, and after I have asked Him for strength over my special weaknesses for that day, then I wonder with excitement what the day holds. I love that little statement that you've read it and I've read it. I love it. Today is the first day of the... Hey, wake up on the front row, son. I got something I want you to hear. Slap him in the face there, would you please? That's right. Hit him in the jaw with your fist. I'm not kidding, son. Stand up straight and hear me what I'm saying. Good night. I've got something to tell you. I didn't come in here to give you a nap. I can't talk to you. And I want you to hear what I got to say. I'm saying every burdened heart in this room needs to gain strength for today. For today. Everybody in this room who has a battle with some temptation needs to live it one day at a time and gain strength for today. The apostle said, I die daily. The model prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. Now, you're not gonna win the battle once and for all. You're not gonna do it. You've got to take today and say, oh God, I have this weakness. I pray your victory. When we have some person in our church who is really bound by sin, there are four or five folks in this room with whom we've done this, I'll get somebody to go to his house 6 o'clock every morning, take a Bible, pray with him, and ask him to have the victory that day. The next day I'll have somebody else go by, same time, and pray with him and ask him to have the victory that particular day. You know, one of our problems is we don't start the day right. We don't get up and start the day. If you'll get up in the morning and say, Jesus, I love you. I'd love to see you today. Get on your knees and say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you today. Help me as I live today to walk across the path of those whose paths our Lord would cross today. And Holy Spirit, that thing that's my weak thing, that temptation that's the greatest, give me victory over that just for today. That's all I ask for, just for today. Give me victory over that today. And then you start out your day with a bounce in your step. I can't wait for the day to begin. Every day is a new experience. Every day is a microcosm of life. And I can't wait for the day to begin. I'll tell you, I mean it. I shouldn't say this. I may have said it already. I shouldn't. I was down in a certain state in the South, and a famous preacher of my age said to me, he said, Jack, he said, is the change of life bothering you? And I said, man, what are you talking about? He said, the male change of life. I said, get off my back, man. There's no such thing as that. Why, he said, if that's the case, he said, why are we having all these hot flashes? And I said, I only have my deacon's meeting. That's the only time I have a hot flash. That's caused by anger. Had several last night. But he said, okay, then, why are we depressed so much? And I said, man, you're talking to the wrong fella. I don't know what depression is. I mean that. I don't know. Oh, remember that old scripture? My peace give I to those who are not in the change of life. Remember that? That little scripture? And that blessed old scripture, you know? Those who are not in the change of life can do all things through Christ which strengthens. Isn't that a blessed scripture? Huh? My God shall supply all the needs of all those that are not in a certain place in life. In the first place, I don't believe men have that. In the second place, if they do, I'm not going to. Then alive, I've only got so many years to live. I've only got so many days to live. I don't know what I mean it. I don't know what depression is. I don't know. I don't get melancholy and blue. Oh, maybe once or twice a year, maybe April 15th, I'm not kidding. I don't know what that is. I don't know what being blue is. And there is a way that you can live with daily communication and fellowship with your God and His book. Well, you don't have to be blue. You just don't have to be. You don't. Why? How? By a daily yielding and a daily surrender. Listen, life is beautiful. I quote that scripture almost every morning. Job 10:12. Thou hast granted me life. Boy, I like that. Thou hast granted me life. I'm alive for another day. I do not know if I'll have tomorrow, but I'll guarantee you I know I have today. And so I'm going to yield today, and I'm going to serve today, and I'm going to love today, and I'm going to claim the victory for today, today, today. That's today. Last 2 weeks ago, tonight, 1 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. I had preached with a clear voice that night. I woke up and I felt it. I felt it. You know how you feel it. all of a sudden it all congested in here, and that big old sound like a golf ball right there in the throat, and I felt it, and I knew I was going to have trouble. I took off for Salt Lake City, Utah, where I was supposed to preach on Monday night, and boy, I tell you, I had it. And Monday night, I frogged it through a sermon. It was a pitiful excuse. I did the best I could. Tuesday morning, woke up, it's worse than it was Monday night. Pastor school, 6 days away, and no voice. The whole pastor school hinges on this little thing right in here, along with this little thing right in here, along with this little bitty thing up in here. But the whole thing, right here, doesn't matter what's up here, what's here, if this right here won't work, there's nothing I can do. And of course, you say, did you fret? No, had a holy concern. And you would call it worry. And so, Monday at noon, I went on a fast, juice fast, stayed on juice, rest of Monday, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, all day Thursday, all day Friday, and Friday night, ate the first solid food eaten since Monday at noon. And you know what I ate? Oh, bless God. I ate a cheese quarter pounder. I love those things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love those things. I don't care a thing about a Big Mac. Wouldn't give you a dime for a carload of them. I wouldn't give you a dime for a Burger Whopper. Burger King Whopper wouldn't give you a dime for a carload. But, oh, my soul in heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord to the Lamb on the throne forever and ever. Majesty and might and power and honor be unto Him that maketh quarter pounders with cheese. I mean, I love them. But that's the first thing I'd eaten. But by the way, Friday night, I was supposed to preach in Indianapolis. Well, I'd preach. I'd frogged it Monday night. I'd frogged it Tuesday morning. I'd frogged it Tuesday night. I'd frogged it Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night. And then Wednesday night, you recall how my shape my voice is in. Wednesday night, the last Wednesday night. And then I was supposed to speak in Indianapolis at a Sunday school convention on Friday night. Oh, people said you shouldn't go. Pastor school coming up. You got to take care of your voice. I went out to Dr. Streeter's office on the way to Indianapolis. Drove down there. He gave me 3 shots. I'll tell you what. Oh, I stood up during all the service down there. He gave me 3 of the biggest shots I ever had in my life. I mean, he shot my bone, my gristle, everything else. And so put up preach, started off pretty good. About an hour and a half into the sermon, I got a little hoarse. And driving back, getting up again Sunday morning, I didn't know if I could preach or not. And I had to preach Sunday morning and Sunday night and Monday night and classes Tuesday and preach Tuesday night and classes Wednesday. Then conduct the pastor school and classes Thursday and classes Friday. Then I had to leave as soon as pastor school was over, drive down to Danville, Illinois, preach there at 7 o'clock on Friday night, and again at 8:30 on Friday night. And what did I do? I didn't one time say, oh, God, you've got to help me through pastor school. I said last Sunday morning, I said, dear God, let me preach this morning. Just let me preach this morning. And after I got through preaching Sunday morning, I said, dear God, let me preach tonight. Give me a voice tonight. All day Friday, I said, Lord, give me a voice tonight. All day Monday. Monday comes after Sunday, doesn't it? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yes. And I said, Lord, give me a voice tonight. And He did. And then on Tuesday morning, I got up and I prayed Tuesday night through the night, Lord, give me a voice. Just for the first class. Class about 11:30 on Tuesday morning. Let me have that class. Don't ask, just for that class. Of course, I was going to ask him later on. I knew that, but didn't tell him. And I didn't want him to know it. But I knew it. And so I prayed Tuesday afternoon, Lord, give me a voice for the class Tuesday afternoon. And good night, I preached for an hour and 45 minutes Tuesday night. I'm not kidding. I preached an hour and 45 minutes. And to the audience, it didn't seem like that at all to them. Seemed like 3 hours and a half to them. And you know that after I finished preaching Tuesday night, my voice was clearer than it was Sunday morning when I walked the pulpit. And I said, now, Lord, how about tomorrow morning now? Give me a voice tomorrow morning. I never prayed all week for God to give me a voice for 2 services. I prayed for the next one. Now, folks, life is that way. Hey, I was watching a football game in a motel. I was watching a football game on television. And the fellow said, first down, 10 to go. And I said, that's life. That's the secret to life. First down. Don't try for the touchdown. Try for the first down. But you say, preacher, there's opposition. Have you ever noticed the opposition that discourages first down? How about Mean Joe Green? How about, what's that guy for Dallas? White, they call him the Manster. The Manster, Randy White. I mean, here's a guy, 185 pounds, 200 pounds. He's got seven men up there. Well, 11, really. And seven of them weigh 260 and 270 pounds, discouraging him to get a first down. But that's the next goal, a first down. And so they try for the first. One of the surest ways to lose a ball game, one of the surest ways is to try for the bomb. Try for the bomb. You don't do that. You win ball games not by touchdowns. If you take care of the touchdowns take care of themselves. And life is that way. Don't you, listen, as for the Hiles, I'm 35 years old. What am I going to do when I retire? I don't know. But think about today. That's all you have to think about. Oh, but preacher, how can I pay my college bill? I can't see my way through the whole year. You don't have to worry about the whole year. You just pray for today's bill and today's needs. And by the way, live it up today and enjoy. Well, one day I got up in the morning, went through my little ritual. Thank God for giving me life another day. And by the way, I think life's a wonderful thing. I can't say with the writer of Ecclesiastes, I hate life. I can't say that. I love life. You say, well, Miles, won't you be glad when you die and go to heaven? I'll be glad, but I don't want to yet. I enjoy life. I've got things I want to do. I've got plans made. And so I get up in the morning. And I think years ago, a few months ago, I told you this in some meeting, maybe not. But anyway, I got up and I said, Lord, I said, I love you, Jesus. And I said, I'd love to see you today. And I said, I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. Help me to cross the path of those that our Lord would cross today. And I got up and claimed Job 10:12 and thanked God for giving me life. Thou hast granted me life, I quoted. And then I like to throw my shoulders back and my arms like that. But boy, world, here I come. Here I come. To me, life is like a little child at the parade the other day. That's life to me. I mean, to me, I can take a little old beef stick and make the biggest thing in the world out of it. I'll stop and think about when I never knew what a beef stick was. I mean, I just take every minute of life and I squeeze every moment. And I'm not going to go through life yawning or sleeping. And I'm not going to sit when a preacher's preaching and go to sleep. I want to hear what he has to say. I get up in the morning, I say, here I come. Here I am, world. what a
privilege. Good night.
And I walk outside. I can't wait to get on the airplane and fly. Wonder who I'm going to sit by. Man alive. Wonder who it's going to be. That morning I got up and I felt especially good that morning. And when I feel especially good, that's great because I always feel good. And I jumped up and I said, boy, here I go. Lord, who is it today? Went out to O'Hare Field. Got on the airplane, sat down beside a fellow. Hey, good morning. How are you? He wouldn't say a word to me. Not one word. Not one word. And I said, beautiful day, isn't it? He didn't even look at me. He didn't even look. And I said, hey, pretty day. Wouldn't look up. Sturgis came by and said, you want something to drink? I said, give me some hot tea. And he said, give me a screwdriver, a pair of pliers. I forget what he asked for. And he said, give it to me. And she gave it to him. And he talked to her. Wouldn't talk to me. I said, where you live? He didn't say anything. Wouldn't say a word to me. I tried for 1.5 hours between Chicago and Greensboro, North Carolina. Get him to say something. He wouldn't do it. Well, I decided a long time ago, nobody's going to ruin my spirit. I mean, I'm not going to do it. No crab is going to ruin my spirit. I don't care how hard you try. I tried for 1.5 hours, and finally I reached up, and he wouldn't say a word. Never said one word to me. Spoke to the stewardess. I punched him on the shoulder. He looked at me, and I said, man, what are you doing? And I said, mister, I've been trying to talk to you 1.5 hours. I guess you must be deaf. I'm talking in the sign language. He started laughing. He said, that's the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. Funniest thing. Never saw anything like that in my life. In less than 15 minutes, I got him saved. Man, what a life. What a life. Shoot. I was thinking the other day about that time. That reminds me of the time the staff. Years ago, I took the staff on an outing. 15 of us went. We borrowed the deaf and hard-hearing van. Now, the van's not deaf and hard-hearing, but the people that ride in the van are deaf and hard-hearing. So I was driving the van down North Shore Drive, coming back after the outing, and would you believe it? I was talking and cutting up and ran a red light, stop light. Now, if I need a policeman, the nearest one's in Cleveland, Ohio. If I'm in a stoplight, they're having a policeman's convention on that corner. And sure enough, there was a police car sitting over there, two policemen in it. And they drove up, and they started cursing me. I got out, and they cursed, and they cursed, and they cursed. Hey, you First Baptist people, run your buses all over the area, and you're endangering folks' lives. If that's Christianity, I don't want anything to do with it. You heard it, you know. So what do you want to do? I want to get a nice stick and stick it in both eyeballs. That's the thing I asked Victory over in the morning. I stick. But anyway, they think they're going to a fire. And I didn't know what to say. I looked over and I saw that sign, van for the deaf and the hard of hearing. Oh, I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have done it. But I just started doing this. And one guy said, what are you doing? One policeman said to the other, this crazy fool can't hear a thing we're saying. They got in the car and drove off. Didn't. One of our young ladies this week, Monday, pastor school, our young ladies dressed like soldiers. And it was Ray Young's wife, wasn't it? Maybe Young. It was a uniform for the day, you know. And she was driving to work, a cop stopped there, and saw that uniform. And he said, oh, ma'am, are you on a special mission? And she said, yes, sir. He said, then go on. Then go on. Man, what a life. Man, a life. I feel sorry for you folks going through life, never enjoy it. Oh, but you say, preacher, you don't know my problem. I know there's a God in heaven that knows your problem. And I know that God in heaven is able to give you victory every day of your life. Now, he won't feed you for tomorrow all the time, but you don't need food for tomorrow. You need food for today. And tomorrow, you'll ask him for tomorrow. That burden you bear, that heartache you have, that sorrow you have, that load you carry. Don't you ask, don't you fret about tomorrow or the next day or the next day. You just think about today. And you get on your face and say, dear God, I die daily. Give me this day my daily bread. Give me that manna for today. Give me strength for today. Give me victory for today. That's all. The Bible says, order my steps according to thy word. Didn't say, order my future according to thy word. Didn't say, order my life according to thy word. Order my steps according to thy word. A fellow one time said to his friend, said, I'm going to build a fence, a 10-mile fence around my farm, a ranch. So he hired a fellow to do it. And the fellow said, what's my job? He said, I'm going to build a fence. I think he said, 10 miles. A fence 10 miles long. Fellow worked 2-3 days, got discouraged because he still had 9 miles and 3/4 to go. He quit. Second fellow came to work. He said, what's my job? He said, I want you to spend 3 years building a fence around my farm. He worked a couple of days, realized he had 2 years and 363 days left, and he quit. Third fellow came to work. He said, what's my job? He said, just dig a hole, put a picket in it. And you get through with that, dig a hole and put a picket in it, right beside it. And you get through with that, dig a hole and put a picket in it. And he said, I'll tell you when to stop. He built the fence. A lot of you folks are not putting one picket in at a time. And you're fretting about tomorrow when our Lord wants to give you victory day by day. One of the exciting things about this is that if God answers your prayer and gives you what you need for the whole year, then you're missing 364 miracles. But if God can give you a miracle every day, you've got 365 a year instead of one a year. Oh, this is a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. God has victories untold, blessings innumerable. God has plans and excitement and activities unknown to us if we just day by day will yield to Him. I say to you up in years, my mother's got the answer. She's got the answer. I just live it a day at a time. You folks that have children incurable disease, you folks that have them, that little couple with a little child with leukemia, seemingly terminal, they found the answer. Just live it a day at a time. Just a day at a time. It's a wonderful way to live. I'm 54 years of age. I've never enjoyed life like I enjoy it now. I have more burdens than I ever had. More problems, more loads, more criticism than I ever had. But I enjoy it. I enjoy every day. I enjoy it. Because I live for today. Pastor came to me and said, you're going to be in our church week after next, aren't you? I said, I have no idea. He said, well, man, he said, aren't you down to preach in our church week after next? I said, I don't know. He said, well, what do you know? Well, I said, where I'm preaching tonight. Ms. McKinney I go out in the hallway. She gives me a little notepad and a little card telling where I'm preaching. Points me toward the airport. I get on the plane, give my ticket to the man on the plane. I sit down in a seat. Then the stewardess says, no more smoking. And I put out my cigarette and I get off of the plane, and I am met, and they meet me there, and they drive me to a room, and they put me in my cage for 2 days, and they come and get me when they want me to perform, and they put a quarter in me, and I preach for 2 hours, and you can't find a deal like that anywhere. You can't get 2 hours worth for a quarter anywhere else. And I go back to my room, and just day by day. Day by day. But man, what a way to live. I mean, I never know. When I say in the morning, dear Holy Spirit of God, I pray, I yield to you, and I pray that you'd help me to cross the path of those whose paths our Lord would cross if He were alive and here on this earth. I never know. God has some wonderful experiences for you, some wonderful happenings for you. And God has some wonderful blessings and provisions for you. I don't recall my mother ever saying when I was a boy, dear God, feed us tomorrow. And I can recall her getting on her knees night after night and say, morning after morning and saying, dear God, feed my boy today. Feed my boy today. I wish I could tell you the times when we'd sit down to the table. I've heard my mother ask the blessing at an empty table. But we ate. We ate. Why? There is a God in heaven whose promises are as fresh today as they were 2,000 years ago. And that God wants to give you day by day victory and day by day sustenance and day by day strength. I'll close with this. I felt like a dummy sticking my head out of that bubble at that parade. I thought the parade was wonderful. And I especially thought the last part of it was unbelievably beautiful. But I'll tell you my thoughts and I'll quit. Thousands of people were there who were here for pastor school. We had shared experiences that too sacred almost to mention. What a week. And I was saddened. Usually, pastor school ends with a big parade of our people. All the folks who've worked come down the aisle, stand across here, and we all cry. And slobber and cry and slobber and cry and slobber. And then I walk out the door. 17 years I've done it, walk out the door. And I get in the car and drive around. And I just cry for an hour maybe or two. And I pray, oh God, do something with those preachers. Change the country. This year we changed it a bit. We had a big parade. And I'm glad we did. I'll tell you why. To say goodbye that way, I saw the people, our delegates, lined up. But as I rode down the street, I saw a field of children waving at me. Had their handkerchiefs out. Hello, Brother Hiles. We love you, Brother Howells. And It's like they stick their head in our door, you know. You remember Howells? And put pennies and nickels and dimes, and in some cases quarters, never as much as a dollar. And anyway, I saw three little children waving. And they were so happy. And right beside them was a smiling mother who's rearing them alone. And I know the burdens. I'm their daddy, adopted daddy. And if they have problems, they come to me. And the mother has burdens, she comes to me. And I saw them smiling. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me. The burdens are still there. And I started crying. I didn't cry on this parade because of sin, but by the delegates. I cried because I was seeing my people with burdens and heartaches and problems. Some were there who shut-ins. I saw in one car one of our shut-in ladies, and I waved at her, and she was so excited. She said, "He waved at me! He waved at me! He waved at me!" You know, I and Elvis have the same effect on people. You know how we rock stars are. "He waved at me." And I wept for joy. I wept first because there was something to make her laugh. And then I wept because of her burdens. But I want to say, beloved people, with whom I've served for these almost 22 years, there's a way that you can be happy in life. I'll be honest. Dr. Evans, if I thought about 10 years from now, I'll be 64. Good night. Mama, you recall Ernie and I came to see you that day, and I started singing, "When that old age pension check comes to our door, we won't eat chicken and dumplings anymore." And, Mama, do you know I'm 11 years from 65? Do you know that, Mama? I'm 11 years from 65. I don't like to think about that. Let's know. I wish you hadn't brought it up. So I could think about, yeah. I saw our young people here the other day, and we had a bunch of men here as a part of the class session when I taught, and I was so proud of them. And they spoiled me rotten through the week. And the Blue Berets want to escort me back to my office. By the way, I want to say this word to Dick Liebig. I want to say this word to John Olson. I want to say this to Dick Miles. I want Brother Barber, to you and others. I won't be needing you anymore as my security guard. I've found somebody who smells a lot better than you do. And they took back to the office, and I was so proud of them. And I got thinking, just briefly, maybe, probably one more generation is all I have to turn out. But I won't think about that. No, sir. I'm thinking about today. Today! Today! March 22nd! 1981, I am alive. God has granted me life. And the sun is shining. And God has promised to meet my needs. And God loves me. And God's promised to give me strength for today. And so today, I will die and I will live. And I will yield, and I will serve. And then tomorrow morning, when I get resurrected again, I'll start all over again. That's the secret. Just take it one day at a time.